Manifestaciones de protesta contra las restricciones promovidas por la extrema derecha en muchos países ejemplificaron la carencia de comprensión del fenómeno sanitario y de solidaridad con sus víctimas. Por último, cabe reseñar algo que se mencionó en su momento, citando a la novela La Plaga de Albert Camus. Esto es, la importancia de un buen sistema público de salud en cada uno de los países. Sobre esto, lamentablemente, no se ha vuelto a hablar. Y parece que, con todos los nuevos acontecimientos que sacuden al mundo y con los efectos más destructivos de la pandemia quedando ahora detrás, los gobiernos empiezan a desentenderse de las anteriores promesas en que se había mencionado cuán prioritario eran los sistemas de salud y dar una justa remuneración a sus trabajadores. A 2 años del comienzo de la peor pandemia de los últimos 100 años, no solo los trabajadores de la salud, sino el conjunto de la sociedad debería estar insistiendo a sus dirigentes políticos que la más importante lección de este devastador virus es la necesidad de invertir en la salud pública. Esto vale tanto para sociedades desarrolladas como Canadá, como aquellas en América Latina que con menores recursos tienen que enfrentar aún mayores demandas en el plano de la salud. Por eso es que corresponde a organizaciones internacionales abordar el problema del financiamiento de la salud pública como una obligación global también. The pandemic. What has been learned in health policy? This past Friday, March the 11th, marked exactly 2 years since the World Health Organization, WHO, officially declared as a pandemic the contagious respiratory disease triggered by a variant of the coronavirus. The virus causing the disease has been identified in 2019, and its origin was located in the city of Wuhan, in China. From the outset, the new plague affecting the world was marked by controversial and crisscrossing political accusations. The U.S. president at that time, Donald Trump, began by calling it the Chinese virus, and not only in his country, but also in others in the West, the disease was used to attack China. There were also counter accusations pointing to U.S. military experiments. Subsequent field investigations endorsed by the WHO ultimately supported the version that the virus had moved from an animal species to humans in a market in Wuhan, China. To prevent the contagious disease from being associated with a specific country, as had happened with the Spanish flu and then the Hong Kong flu in the 20th century, the WHO gave the disease a strictly technical name, COVID-19, a condensed acronym for coronavirus disease, and the number 19 in reference to the year in which the disease had been detected for the first time, which had been in December 2019. There is no doubt that the outbreak of this pandemic caught everyone off guard, from experts in the medical sciences to governments, international organizations, and of course, political leaders. Hence, the directives were often contradictory. At first, the use of masks, for example, was ruled out, only to be adopted as a universal practice. Some, as in the United Kingdom, advocated from the beginning the so-called herd immunity, that is, to let the virus spread until it eventually exhausted its aggressiveness and a natural immunity was produced among those who had survived. This view, championed by British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, was also espoused by then US President Donald Trump and Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro, the latter of whom famously we remember calling it a simple resfriadinho. They pushed health policy that ultimately resulted in a huge number of infected and dead. COVID-19 was not something to be taken lightly or frivolously. The unusually rapid availability of vaccines had brought the spread of infection under control. But 2 years after it began, COVID-19 is still with us, and it is suspected that it will continue to be with us, now endemically, like other diseases such as influenza or pneumonia. There is some consensus that we will have to learn to live with its presence. There are, however, other aspects from which we as human societies will have to learn new lessons. For one thing, on what we can call a cultural level, it is important to note how far we are from addressing a global catastrophe such as that of COVID-19 with rationality and solidarity. The circulation of the most ridiculous conspiracy theories, such as that vaccines were going to introduce a chip that will make it impossible, that will make it possible to control the will of individuals, or that the pandemic itself was an invention created by a group aspiring to become a world government, among many others, portrayed a humanity still mired in ignorance and irrationality. On the other hand, the call by some, even in the midst of the pandemic, to prioritize the economy over human lives, with the premise that those who will be infected should be infected, and those who have to die, well, they should die, and who demanded an end to restrictions on mobility and meetings long before it was safe to do so, that attitude also portrayed in a clear way the lack of humanity and sense of solidarity displayed by some people. Protest demonstrations against the restrictions promoted by the extreme right in many countries exemplified the lack of understanding of the health phenomenon and of solidarity with its victims. Finally, it is worth recalling something that was mentioned at the time, quoting the novel The Plague by Albert Camus. That is, the importance of a good public health system in each country. Unfortunately, this has not been discussed again, and it seems that, with all the new events that are shaking the world, and with the most destructive effects of the pandemic behind us, governments are beginning to forget about the previous promises in which they have mentioned how important the health systems and a fair remuneration of their workers were. 2 years after the start of the worst pandemic in 100 years, not only healthcare workers, but society as a whole should be reminding their political leaders that the most important lesson of this devastating virus is the need to invest in public health. This is true, or rather, this is as true for developed societies like Canada as it is for those in Latin America, which, with fewer resources, face even greater health demands. That is why it is incumbent upon international organizations to address the problem of public health financing as a global obligation as well. Good day.
Qué gran engaño pensar que los años jamás se terminan. Es breve la dicha. Los sanos e enfermos, bravos e indefensos, es sueño la vida. Qué luz es tan linda. Querría volver de nuevo a revisar el pasado para ver si comprendo aquello que hemos perdido. Vivimos en un mundo horrible. Vamos en busca de una existencia. La gente es cruel y a veces infiel, y no se avergüenza de ser embustera. Los puros y jóvenes y todos los hombres. No vale la huida si no hay osadía. Querría volver de nuevo a revisar los errores para acelerar mis procesos interiores. Estaba en quinto de básica y entré por suerte en mi existencia hecha de días alegres y de continua exploración y transformaciones del yo. ¡Ah, qué gran engaño! Pensar que los años jamás se terminan, es breve la dicha. Quería volver de nuevo a mi casa de origen, donde vivía antes de llegar aquí a la tierra. Por suerte en mi existencia de antiguas formas de educación y transformaciones del lío. Oh. Y transformaciones del hijo.
Bien, con esta música de fondo compuesta por Sergio Abel Méndez, el equipo de Tiempo Latino, Latin Time, les anuncia que el próximo domingo 20 de marzo estaremos fuera de la ciudad y en lugar del programa habitual les presentaremos un programa especial. ¿No es así, Romer?
Sí, así es, Sergio. De hecho, tendremos el grato placer de compartir la hora y media del programa con el músico de origen uruguayo Sergio Abel Méndez, con quien conversaremos sobre su caminar por la ruta de la música. Les dejo con Sergio Abel Méndez para que nos invite en forma escueta a este programa especial.
¿Qué tal, amigas y amigos? Antes que nada, quiero agradecer al equipo de Tiempo Latino por esta hermosa invitación, donde tendré el agrado de presentarles esta experiencia musical de muchos años, esta visión global impresa en un pentagrama con diferentes estilos de música, que me gustaría compartirlo con todos ustedes. Nos encontramos entonces el próximo domingo 20 de marzo a las 9 de la mañana en la sonda de CKUT 90.3 FM. Hasta entonces.
Vio nacer un árbol sin hojas ni flor, eleva en la tierra su seca plegaria, pidiéndole al cielo beber su color. El árbol que me vio crecer sin ramas que abracen mi piel, ni el viento le mece, ni siente calor, ni los pájaros cantan para él su canción. ¿Quién pudiera con mi piel. El viento le mece, le abraza el calor y los pájaros cantan para él su canción.
COVID-19 vaccines have helped protect us. Over time, the antibodies created after vaccination have been found to decrease. While we still have good protection against severe illness, a booster dose produces more antibodies that can help to strengthen our immune response. A booster dose is the best way to help protect yourself against severe illness related to COVID-19. Learn more and book your booster dose at canada.ca/COVID-vaccine. A message from the Government of Canada.
Siempre abre el subsuelo.
La bailarina,
son sus labios.
Vamos ahora al fichero latino de hoy, 13 de marzo. Anuncios de interés público. Pablo Andrés Aguirre Jacomé, desaparecido, estudiante internacional ecuatoriano que llegó a Montreal hace poco más de 4 semanas, está desaparecido desde el domingo 30 de enero. Fue visto por última vez algo desorientado, probablemente enfermo, en la estación del metro Snowdon. Para cualquier información, contactar a su madre, Marina Jacome, al 593-99981-3825 o al Trebas Institute, donde él estudia cine y televisión. Dosis de refuerzo de la vacuna contra el COVID-19. Están abiertas las inscripciones para vacunarse con la tercera dosis a las personas que tengan 18 años y más. Las dos primeras dosis ya están también disponibles para los niños entre 5 y 12 años. Consultar y reservar en línea en el sitio web Clic Santé, en francés o inglés. Eventos. Presentación de las ediciones francesa e inglesa del libro Presencia Chilena en la Belle Provence en la ciudad de Quebec. Este jueves 17 de marzo a las 19 horas en el Centre Culture et Environnement Frédéric Bach, situado en el 870 de la calle de Salaberry, en Ciudad de Quebec. Actividad auspiciada por la Casa Latinoamericana Cercle Gabriel García Márquez, CIDICA, el Programa de Literatura Española de la Universidad Laval y Les Images Viennent du Sud. Entrada libre con la presencia de los autores Sergio Martínez y Roberto Herlas. Publicaciones. Las ediciones en francés e inglés del libro Presencia Chilena en la Belle Provence, Présence Chilienne dans la Belle Provence, Chilean Presence in la Belle Provence, se hallan a la venta en la librería de la Université de Montréal, 3200 Jean Briand, en la librería Bertrand, 430 Saint-Pierre, Vieux Montréal, en el Internet, en la cadena Renobre, en librería Argos, en el 1841A, Saint-Catherine-Oeste, y en la librería Paragraph, 2220 McGill College Avenue, precio $10 más impuesto. Y el tiempo para hoy, según Environment Canada, la Oficina Meteorológica Nacional de Canadá. Soleado, con una temperatura máxima de menos 3 grados. Para esta noche, posibilidades de nieve ligera con una temperatura mínima de menos 5 grados. Y recuerde que si usted o su organismo comunitario tienen alguna información que desean difundir en el fichero latino, comuníquese con nosotros a Latin Time a nuestra dirección electrónica laplaza.info@gmail.com. O también puede enviarnos un mensaje en Facebook. Vaya a www.facebook.com/tiempolatino.latintime y de paso denos un like. Nuestra página Facebook también se actualiza ahora diariamente con noticias y reportajes sobre lo que ocurre en América Latina y el mundo. Síganos en Facebook. Y Tiempo Latino es escuchado en América Latina y en todo el mundo a través del Internet. Entra al sitio de CKUT en la siguiente dirección, www.ckut.ca. Y usted puede acceder también a nuestro programa en cualquier otro horario, simplemente yendo al archivo de CKUT en el sitio web ya indicado y presionando Latin Time. Y antes de despedir el programa, hoy queremos recordarles a todos nuestros amigos oyentes que a partir del 17 de marzo estaremos en nuestra campaña de finanzas anual. Es una oportunidad que tienen ustedes también para ayudar a mantener este programa alternativo y mantener también en el aire a CKUT Radio McGill. Bien importante entonces que se comunique con nosotros. Esencialmente esta vez no va a ser a través del... no estamos haciendo el programa todavía en el estudio, pero sí la oportunidad de comunicarse con nosotros a través de el sitio web de CKUT, yendo a www.ckut.ca y yendo entonces a la sección de campaña de finanzas, Funding Drive, campaña de finanzas, y haciendo entonces su promesa de contribución para esta nueva campaña de finanzas. Debemos decir que el año pasado también ya se hizo esta campaña de manera virtual y que fue bastante exitosa, así es que esperamos que este año también lo sea.
Diamancay.
Chola Cuencana, mi chola, capullito Diamancay.
En ti cantar y en ti ríen las aguas del llano.
Bien, con esta música de fondo compuesta por Sergio Abel Méndez, el equipo de Tiempo Latino, Latin Time, les anuncia que el próximo domingo 20 de marzo estaremos fuera de la ciudad y en lugar del programa habitual les presentaremos un programa especial. ¿No es así, Romer?
Sí, así es, Sergio. De hecho, tendremos el grato placer de compartir la hora y media del programa con el músico de origen uruguayo Sergio Abel Méndez, con quien conversaremos sobre su caminar por la ruta de la música. Les dejo con Sergio Abel Méndez para que nos invite en forma escueta a este programa especial.
¿Qué tal, amigas y amigos? Antes que nada, quiero agradecer al equipo de Tiempo Latino por esta hermosa invitación, donde tendré el agrado de presentarles esta experiencia musical de muchos años, esta visión global impresa en un pentagrama con diferentes estilos de música que me gustaría compartirlo con todos ustedes. Nos encontramos entonces el próximo domingo 20 de marzo a las 9 de la mañana en la sonda de CKUT 90.3 FM. Hasta entonces.
Y esto ha sido todo por hoy. Tiempo Latino es una producción del Taller Latinoamericano de Comunicaciones.
Latin Time is a Latin American Communications Workshop Production.
Estuvimos hoy con ustedes.
Our team today.
Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez en las voces.
Sergio Martínez and Daniel Lara at the mics.
Y Rommel Cajavilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Cajavilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa de International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next the International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
For the latest news from the world of radio, every Sunday morning at 10:30 on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
Welcome to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. It is Sunday, March the 13th, 2022. My name is Sheldon, and I am here with Jill. We thank you for joining us. It is 30 minutes of news and information from the world of radio and general discussion this week. Lots of things to talk about. Yep. We can be reached by email, radioreport@yahoo.com. We're live streaming and archived at ckut.ca. We have a lot of new members in our Facebook group this week. Our Facebook group is International Radio Report. We welcome Jacques, Mark, Jerry, Josette, Ashley, Dennis, Eamon, Paul, and Ian, bringing us to 732 members. If you haven't joined yet, if you're on Facebook, look for our group, and you'll find lots more information on the world of radio, particularly stories that we can't get to on our show here every week. And we also back up the stories that we do air with postings on the Facebook group. So check it out and join the 732 other members who are there. We also have our YouTube channel. If you want to pick up the show at your leisure, you can do so with the most current show or previous shows at International Radio Report on YouTube, and we have 587 subscribers there. You can subscribe to the channel, and we'll have news coming up on some new content that will be coming up on the channel shortly. So we should start off, I guess, by telling people what time it is.
Yes, it is 10:30 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. But if you're relying on UTC to listen to our show, something has changed, and it's not the UTC that's changing. It's our local time, so we, of course, are going into daylight savings times. The show is now 14:30 UTC instead of 15:30 because of the time change. This affects the show and, of course, everything else, including my live shows. It's very important to take note of that.
Yep, it's the spring forward, fall back is the rule of thumb that we always tell people. So hopefully it'll be spring here pretty soon. We're supposed to get another snowstorm over the weekend here, so we'll see what happens. But hopefully spring is on its way. What is also on its way is the CKUT annual funding drive for 2022. It will begin on Thursday, March the 17th, and will run through Sunday, March the 27th. So we're going to have two shows during the funding drive, as we do each year. This year marks CKUT's 35th birthday, and we've been with them since then as well. We've been with the station since it got its license on FM. The station has overcome many bumps in the road over the past three decades, but the past 2 years have been especially challenging for CKUT and the community at large. In March 2020, CKUT made the difficult decision to close their doors and postpone the 2020 funding drive. Our incredibly adaptive and creative community of volunteers transitioned to make radio happen from home. And in 2021, we pulled off our first ever online funding drive, which was called Sowing the Seeds of Grassroots Change. Running a campaign during a pandemic was a new experience for everyone. Not knowing what to expect, the station halved their pre-pandemic fundraising goal, $25,000. Much to the station's delight, and with a boost in spirits to all of the staff and programmers, donors surpassed it, reaching nearly $37,000 by the end of the funding drive. This year, they've chosen a different theme. The theme for the funding drive is CKUT Till Infinity. With this in mind, if our community has made it this far, what can't we handle? So this year, the station has set a goal of $35,000 for their 35th anniversary. Understanding that many are still feeling the financial burden of the pandemic, we decided on a happy medium between last year's goal and our pre-pandemic goal. We are people-powered radio, not guided by corporate interests, and that is our strength. But it also makes it especially difficult to stay financially afloat. We rely on donors like you to keep the station alive. Every program on our grid is made possible by you, the listeners, and your contributions and belief in the power of what the station does together. As always, the drive will include a fun array of prizes. You can find out more about that on the CKUT website. And the station and us on our program, we need your help to keep the lights on and to increase our presence in the diverse communities of Montreal and around the world, literally through internet. You can donate online. You can go to ckut.ca/donate, or you can phone, if you like, directly, 514-907-9424. Or you can even mail a check, 3647 University, Montreal, Quebec, Hotel 3 Alpha 2 Bravo 3. We've always been very happy with the generosity of our listeners for our show. We're only 30 minutes, yet we sometimes end up bringing in more pledges than some of the longer shows, hour or 2 hour shows, for example. So we're calling on you again over the next 2 weeks. You can pledge, donate to CKUT anytime you like, but we'd like you to do it in particular during the funding drive. And when you make your donation, you can tag it to a particular show. So our listeners, if you'd like to support our show indirectly, it supports everybody's shows. But the callers, if you listen to this program and you'd like to have your pledge tagged against our show, just let them know that when you make your donation. We leave it in your hands. You've been very generous over the years, and we hope you'll continue. We know it's difficult times financially, but don't worry about the amount. The fact that you pledge, whether it's $5, $10, $100, it doesn't matter. Any amount is gladly appreciated. So again, the phone number is 514-907-9424 or online ckut.ca/donate. And officially, the funding drive gets underway Thursday, March the 17th. We'll put a reminder and all the details on our Facebook page as well. And, you know, just go in, make your pledge at either, you know, call it in or go online and do it. We'll report on it next week, how we're doing after the first week. And then we'll be on the last day of the funding drive on March the 27th with our second show during the funding drive. So pledge now, pledge often, pledge as much as you like. We don't care. Just pledge. We really appreciate your support for what we do here at CKUT, in particular our show, which has been with CKUT right from day one.
So we had something called a Winterfest last week.
Ironically, yeah. Also the 35th anniversary.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Kind of strange, eh? Yeah. I didn't even realize that until just now.
Yep.
It drew, well, we certainly did a lot of publicity about it. You on your YouTube channel, through our CIDX club, on the radio show. And the organizers were very happy to have almost 300 people show up for this year's virtual event. So you certainly can't complain about that. And nope. Lots of new first-timers as well.
I think everybody that was there was so happy. I got some really positive vibes from everyone that I actually was able to pull through and get into the Shortwave Fest. Came back to me to tell me I had the most wonderful time in my life. I want to be back there next year, and I hope that they will still have some virtual event, even though it could be in person also, because a lot of people want to participate again.
There was a lot of discussion over the weekend, and I know they're going to be taking a survey of everyone that attended, but it does seem that they're going to be looking at some sort of hybrid type of Winterfest where there will be an online element for people who just physically can't make it to the Philadelphia area. But those that have been there over the years certainly do want to be able to get back in person again. So we'll certainly have more information on that in the future as to what the plans are. I know we're supposed to have a little sort of a post-mortem and discuss all the suggestions that came up from attendees that will be coming up, and we'll keep informed about all of that. We hope you enjoyed last week's show, because it was sort of a special yep. edition where we did the show live from Winterfest and interviewed a number of interesting people. You can go back and listen to that if you missed it on our YouTube channel. And we will have some special YouTube shows coming up, sort of a recap of Winterfest, a little bit about all the different forums that took place. And we will have a special presentation of a forum that both you and I did. It was actually the last official forum of the event. And I think everybody left there with a pretty positive attitude about where radio is going and how our group of people are involved in it. It was a lot of fun. We thank the organizers, Richard Cuff and John Filiozzi, and everyone else who helped out to make it such a great event.
Absolutely.
People really enjoyed the interaction with other people, and the discussions were really, really interesting. Lots of topics discussed. Lots of new people coming in, meeting veteran attendees of the event. So it was a really nice mix of people, and literally people from all over the world, Brazil, Iceland, Japan, Australia, India, so many places with people that checked in who probably would never make it to a Winterfest. So it was really great. Thanks to everybody who participated and attended, and especially to the organizers.
And if you're watching our YouTube channel, as soon as you have watched here, you'll have available the presentation that me and Sheldon did from last week, and maybe also have a positive attitude of the radio hobby. And during the week, there's going to be the roundup that I'll be posting sometime this week with a little bit of clips from the different presentation. Hopefully it's going to make you want to be there next year for the event, be it virtual or in person.
All right, we have some news from Montreal coming up next, and it is ratings period. The ratings have come out from Numeris, who gathers ratings information on radio listenership in Canada. And the period covered November 29th through February the 27th. And this is sort of a summary. They call it the top line radio statistics. And here in Montreal, of course, they do it in two sections, one for English and one for French. So it's always interesting to compare the two, because there is a bit of crossover from English listeners listening to French radio and vice versa. So we're going to post up the more detailed reports, and we also have reports for other major cities in Canada. But on the Montreal side of things, which is, of course, where we're located, we've been looking at the numbers, and there's some interesting things in a positive light and some interesting things in a negative light. I think the surprising things in a positive light are, in English in particular, the performance of CBC Radio 1. It's never been a really popular station in Montreal. CBC stations across Canada tend to be quite popular, but here in Quebec, it's always been a little different on the English side, not a huge number. This time, though, they've come in with a 14.9%. That's pretty dramatic, a major increase. I'm not quite sure. I guess COVID may be something to do with it. Then the protests that were going on here in Canada, the truckers and all of that sort of thing, maybe drew people more to a news station. It is really the only kind of news-related station we have in Montreal. We have CJD, which continues to have ridiculously high numbers, 28.9 share. I really don't understand how, but or why.
I was about to joke in the high ratings of CJAD. I'm not sure I would want to put in the positive notes.
Yeah, maybe not. I'm sure they're quite happy with it, but it's a news talk radio station, and it does tend to, I always say it picks up what I call the angry phones, that as opposed to anglophones who live in Quebec. There's a lot of ranting and raving and whining and complaining about things, and it goes on endlessly, it seems.
What's interesting about the ratings here is, like on the French side, the Francophone side, usually what happens is when one station gets higher, it actually takes away from other stations. In this case, we see the CBC English getting higher rates, but we don't see it taken off from CJAD or nothing. They just seem to be one big player now that a lot of Anglophone want to listen to.
I think they're maybe chipping away at some of the music stations. Maybe people have got away from music a little bit because of all the events that are going on, and they're looking for more information off the radio.
Yeah.
So that, I'm sure they're very happy with that performance. And we can see on the French side, of course, that news is a big deal.
Yep.
On the French side, because there's two dominant stations.
Oh, yeah. The 98.5 is dominant. It's not that far away, actually, as having a market share of CJAD, but on the French side, actually, at 23.4, it's pretty good. And, of course, the next station that is always been quite popular here for the Francophone listeners is the CBC French, CBFFM, that also gets 18.8. So those two stations together are dominating what people are listening on the French side for sure.
Yeah, there's only one other station that's over 10% share, and that's CFGL, is it? They're it's a music station and FM music station, but they're at 12%. So quite a wide gap as far as information versus music in the Francophone side as well. Now, I guess we have to talk about the negative performance. and this sounds like a replay of our last five or six ratings periods, I think.
Yeah.
And we've got a bash on CJFM, which people probably don't even know are the call letters, but it's Virgin Radio in Montreal.
Yeah.
It's owned by Bell Media. And Bell Media is known for just constantly cutting things and changing things and what have you. For some reason, they're not touching this radio station, and it continues to drop. They are now at 7.1. So CBC is over double the audience share of Virgin Radio. They are way behind the top music stations. They're almost being caught by TSN Sports Radio, which always has had a very small audience. They're at 5.8. Virgin Radio is at 7.1. I don't know how they're continuing. It's almost like it's a lost leader. You know, stores, they put something in really cheap to get you in the store.
Yeah.
And once you get there, you hope you buy something more expensive after. Well, this is kind of like, come and listen to our radio station and maybe you'll realize how bad it is and you'll go to one of our other stations.
One of the things about how bad it is also is it probably shows in how much money they can take from advertisers, because advertisers are not going to want to pay for a station nobody listens to. Mm-hmm. And this always tells me that these big companies should take more chances. If you have a station that is so low in the ratings, do something with it. Just, you know, start on next week, new programming, everything changed. Let's try something. Because you can't get worse.
No, not for a music station. When you realize that the top music station in English, CKBE, 16.9 for the beat, they're basically playing the exact same music that Virgin is.
Yep.
So why are they getting 16.9 and Virgin's getting 7.1?
Yep.
Something's just obviously not working. So we'll see. We see it every time, though, when these ratings come out. They just seem to keep beating a dead horse. I don't know. Anyways, there you have it. So we'll put up all the detailed numbers. You can pick them apart. And I'm sure the media, you know, the brain trust at each of the stations is trying to look at wherever the numbers look good for them. That's what they're going to talk about. You know, 17-year-olds at 5 o'clock in the evening that have blue hair. You know, we're number one in that audience.
Yeah. So I always have this joke in my head. It's like, and welcome to the most popular 5 minutes on Montreal radio.
Exactly. Yeah. And they can break it down by that because it is measured so you know, precisely.
Yeah.
But anyways, we'll put all of that up on our Facebook page and you can have a look at it and also check the other cities across Canada as well and see how they're doing.
It's a way of having all the losers be winners in some way.
That's right.
So what's happening with our sun? Well, there was a big coronal mass ejection that did happen, but it completely missed Earth pretty much. It was interesting because Sheldon sent me an article of this supposedly massive coronal mass ejection that was scary and everybody was on alert. And it's always nice to see the hype that some newspapers and news outlets give to the solar activity when something happens. So there's quite a few sunspots on the sunspot groups on the sun. Sunspot number is 90. The solar flux hovering above 100. That's 127 right now. Propagation this week has been superb and fantastic, and all the stations. And of course, I have the Gray Line propagation, which is something else. But oh man, having a lot of fun with radio this week. So this is something that really is cool. Also, this time of year, as we're getting into the equinox, is something that is always interesting. It enhances some types of propagation on shortwave. So what's coming for the week ahead? There's no real solar wind coming from any coronal holes. It's just the standard space weather. There is a big sunspot that could threaten us with some solar flares. A sunspot 2960 is pretty big. So if something does happen, this will be probably the biggest event happening. There is also a coronal mass ejection that might actually create some geomagnetic storming on March the 13th, which is today. So hope that things don't get too bad. And turn on the radio, because you have no idea what you're missing out right now. And listen.
This is George Zeller of Cleveland. Listen to the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
We're going to turn our attention to the events going on in Ukraine. And you're talking about things to listen to. Well, there's plenty to listen to. We have worked over the last few days to put together a feature document called Focus on Ukraine. It's been prepared by our Canadian International DX Club, which is Canada's national radio monitoring organization that has been around since 1962. And we have it actually turned into a 10-page long report, a compilation of news reports, feature articles, references, web links, monitoring information, radio frequencies, monitoring reports from listeners around the world, focusing on media communications, radio broadcasting, all related to the situation in Ukraine. And we've put all of this together in a format that we think will be useful to you. Some of it, if you're not really into, a lot of the more complicated things of radio that we talk about on the show here sometimes, there might be a little bit of work that needs to be done to familiarize yourself of how to access some of the information, particularly from online receivers and things like that. But I think there's something in it for everyone. It is available easily enough. You can go to the following webpage, cidxclub.ca/Ukraine/, and that's going to take you directly to the page. The information is broken down in 8 different categories. We've got media links, media reports, YouTube channels, websites to access streaming radio, ethnic radio stations broadcasting in Ukrainian, the Kiwi software-defined receivers that are available via the internet. We've got independent reports from monitors, literally scattered around the world, and a bunch of radio frequencies that you can actually monitor, in particular on shortwave. So it's a lot of information. We're going to keep updating it as we go along. We're getting information sent to us from a lot of different people. We've been getting great reaction to it so far, and we've been listening to a lot of this stuff and reading reports. There's an awful lot going on out there, some that we know nothing about too, and this is what's always interesting when a conflict like this erupts. There are things going on out there, and using this, here we go again, that stale, outdated, ancient form of communications called radio.
Yep.
Well, it works.
And don't worry if radio is not your thing. That list contains a lot more than just radio. There's streaming services and so on. So there's really something for everybody. If you're a radio listener, you'll have the info you need. If you just want to listen online for streaming, also lots of information. It's really, really, I think, probably one of the best aggregation of news media information and links to everything Ukraine and radio related to Ukraine that there is on the web. So go and take a look at this. You're going to find something that interests you for sure.
We'll put a link to it on our Facebook group where you can go and check it out. And you may even have some information that you want to share with us as well, that we're calling this version 1.1, and we're sure there's going to be updates.
You know,
we're getting regular stuff coming in almost, you know, several times a day. So we will keep updating this document, but I think you've got plenty to keep you busy with right now. And there's even a little bit of instructional stuff in it, like with the online receivers. It might be a little complicated for people who've never looked at these sorts of things. You're basically tuning someone else's radio via the internet. I guess is the simplest way to describe it. But these are not your average everyday radios. They're a little more complicated. They've got all kinds of different modes, and multiple users can be using the same. You're basically using a computer almost instead of a radio, but it's connected to a radio. And so you're able to tune from a remote location, in other words. So if you're wanting to listen to stations in Ukraine and around the area, you can get to some of those stations by using these online receivers. Of course, it helps to be able to speak the languages, because many of what you're hearing are the stations that the locals are listening to. So lots of communications in Ukrainian from Ukraine, and in other languages from the bordering countries who are transmitting in that region. But then you've also got, you know, international services, which will be in various languages that you can probably understand. So again, check it out. I think you'll enjoy going through some of it. You're probably going to learn a lot too, and maybe see some reports that you haven't seen before, or some sources that you can use down the road as well for listening to other events in the future that go on in different parts of the world.
Yep, something for everybody in there. So there's some upcoming ham radio contests.
We have a few of them for you next weekend. The first one is the British Amateur Radio Teledata Group. It is their HF radio teletype contest, 0200 March 19th to 0159 Zulu on March the 21st. It is 80 through 10 meters, but it is radio teletype only, no voice or CW communications.
There's the AGCW VHF UHF contest, 14 Zulu to 18 Zulu, March 19th. It's organized by the Germany Telegraphy Activity Group. Bands 2 meter and 70 centimeter bands only, so it's VHF and UHF. All modes, simplex, no repeater use.
So yeah, you'd basically have to be there in order to be working this one. But hey, you know, we may have some listeners over there who might participate in that, so we thought we'd share that. And finally, from the Romanian Society of Radio Amateurs, the Yankee Oscar III Kilo Sierra Romeo Club, they're holding the Bucharest Digital Contest, 1800 to 2059 Zulu, March 21st. It is 80 meters FT4 only. And it's 3575 to 3578 kilohertz, so very narrow. And on the 40 meter band, FT4 only, 7047.5 to 7050 kilohertz. So if you're into the digital modes, this is an FT4 only contest.
And we are out of time.
We certainly are. We thank you for tuning in. And do remember that the funding drive starts on Thursday. ckut.ca/donate to do an online donation, or telephone 514-907-9424, and you can tag your donation to our show if you like. We'd certainly appreciate that. We'll tell you more about that, how the event is progressing, on next week's show. Thank you for tuning in this week. We'll talk to you again next week on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
materials. Don't.
United Nations.